Hi, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Perloff here in the New York studio. Maggie Gray at the home studio. Of course, you can see Maggie's lovely decorations, little Bills, a little Mets on the Infinity Sports Radio Network YouTube page. Maggie, I gotta admit, it's bothering me. I don't mind the Bills stuff. Everyone loves the Bills. That Mets t-shirt, I don't know. Next bet we lose, I'm going to make you get rid of all your Mets gear.
Well, listen, I mean, as the professional broadcasters we are, you gotta be able to work through it, Pearl. I didn't put this up just to troll you, although maybe a little bit. You're conveniently forgetting my Army-Navy helmet, though, which I already got a compliment from Nico on. This is, I've got a lot of range here in the closet in New Jersey where I'm doing the show from today because I woke up with a really bad sore throat and I didn't want to expose the crew to any potential germs.
Let's get into that Army-Navy helmet. Wasn't that a set decoration on our show in 2022?
That is
that
my
end up
business.
In your home?
That yeah, is my yeah. business.
Yeah, and I don't know. Does HR know about this helmet that is... I didn't know that was up for grabs. I would have taken it home with me, too.
That was a gift from the good people at the Army-Navy game who told me, Maggie, it's cool. Actually, I think it was CBS Sports Network who gave me that and said, yeah, take it. It's basically just like a novelty helmet. You couldn't actually wear this thing. You'd end up like Devontae Smith. Sorry. Too soon.
Yeah, that's actually what they wore in the 70s, a helmet like that. All right, great debate time.
The Great Debate Series.
All right, we got a fun one today. College football, I think there are a lot of star freshmen. Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State, Ryan Williams, Alabama. Are there any quarterbacks who are... I mean, now the quarterbacks
Dylan Raiola, of course.
Yeah, Dylan Raiola. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the quarterbacks are in their seventh, eighth, ninth year. But we got into it. Who has had the greatest freshman season in college football history? Funny, we say college football history. I think everyone here except me picked someone in the last 9 years. But let's say greatest freshman season. Maggie, before we dive into this, redshirt freshman counts, right?
Those are the rules. Now, I'm protesting that.
Me too.
But I'm not going to stand in the way. But I think redshirt freshman is not a freshman. We're talking about people who just got to campus. But for the sake of this exercise, if you'd like to redshirt freshman, then go ahead because... obviously, redshirting is such a huge part of college football.
All right. Why don't you start us off, Maggie? Obviously, you did not choose a redshirt.
No, I did not. I went with a true freshman. I actually went with somebody who got called into duty 4 games into the season, and that is Trevor Lawrence, who took over for Kelly Bryant at Clemson when they had aspirations to win a title and Bryant was not getting it done. So what did Trevor Lawrence do? Leads the Clemson Tigers, not just to the college football playoff and undefeated season, but also a full takedown of Alabama. Yes, mighty Alabama. The final score in this game, 44-16. And it was a big lead at halftime, and they just kept piling it on. Trevor Lawrence is the first true freshman to win a college football national championship since 1986, and he did it with plays like this.
Lawrence, with the rush coming, finds T. Higgins. Touchdown! That kid cannot be 19 years old. Come on. I mean, he looks like a 10-year NFL veteran.
I mean, he looks like he's been there his whole life.
Okay, erase everything you saw on Monday. And quite frankly, for the last 8 games that Trevor Lawrence has played in the NFL. Guys, let's go back to this freshman year. This is what led to him and the hype of him being a generational talent. 347 yards, 3 touchdowns, a win over Alabama. Greatest freshman year of all time.
Wait, you're saying he's the only true freshman to win a title at quarterback?
Since 86. To start and win as a quarterback since 1986.
I was going to say, because there is a guy who didn't start but won it. Wasn't Tua a true freshman when he won?
Well, he is not my selection.
All right, well, that is a good one. By the way, Maggie, you're previewing everybody on this list has had some down moments after that freshman year. At least your guy is getting $55 million a year. All right, let's go. Andrew Bogus, who do you got?
Oh, thanks. I'm going to break the rules to go with a redshirt freshman, I believe. He was called back in the mid-aughts, the Bruce Bochy of college-wide receivers down at Texas Tech.
Second down now. Deep strike. Got the big man. Crabtree pulls free. And touchdown. Red Raiders with a second to go.
He did not step out of bounds.
And Harrell just put this up, relying on the best receiver in college football to make a play, and the strength of his hands. Big-time players make big plays in big games, and that's what Michael Crabtree just did.
No, the best receiver in the game as a freshman. What did he do as a freshman, Michael Crabtree? 134 catches, 1,962 yards, and 22 touchdowns. Huh. Those are all freshman records and are among the best single-season seasons ever for any receiver of any eligibility. Michael Crabtree, 2007 redshirt freshman, an absolute monster on the field.
Wow. Bit of a system guy, but those numbers, that's crazy. As a freshman, you had that many touchdowns?
Yeah.
Pretty good. All right, Nico. I don't think you were alive to see any of these people, except for maybe Tua and Trevor Lawrence. Who do you got?
All right, well, I went with a guy that
Dylan Raiola. That's all I know.
I went with a guy that was a redshirt freshman, but I guess we're allowed to count those. So give me Johnny Manziel.
Snap from Patrick Lewis. Four-man Alabama rush. Got him. No, they didn't. Oh, my gracious.
Yep.
How about that?
When you have an opportunity to stop a playmaker like Manziel, you got to get him.
3,700 yards, 26 touchdowns. There was so much hype around Johnny Manziel that he basically paid for the renovations at Kyle Field down in College Station. He was everything in 2012 when he won the Heisman Trophy.
Gosh, I got to be honest. We're going to do a poll later on. Johnny Manziel is going to be tough to knock off. Johnny Football. Good one, Nico. All right, EJ, have you decided yet?
Yeah, this is a game time decision, and I hate to admit this kind of thing, but Perloff got in my head on this one.
Ooh.
He got in my head because the conversation yesterday about true freshmen versus redshirt freshmen. I really wanted to go to redshirt freshman, but I'm like, no, let me go to true freshman. I have no problem with this guy. You're talking about 9 straight 100-yard rushing games. You're talking about 3 200-yard rushing games as a true freshman all day AD Adrian Peterson.
That's a tough place to play, that's for sure. A lot of people have found that out over the years. Adrian Peterson, draw play, broke one tackle, two tackles, three and more. Off to the races is Peterson. He might get there. Touchdown! Touchdown! What a run!
I mean, as Bogus was just telling me in my ear, like, this guy just 7 months before was playing high school kids. And when you watched him play, he's one of those guys where I'll never forget when I first watched him play. Because you see him out there, you're like, oh, wow, this guy is good. Like, he must be a junior, a guy was on the bench. And they're like, he's 18 years old. They're like, he looks like a grown man. He was a freshman that actually made college upperclassmen look small. And this was an era where you didn't necessarily have freshmen. This is not 9 years ago like Perloff was talking about. I'm going back to 2004, okay? This is not an era where freshmen were just coming in and just running people over and scoring touchdowns and winning Heisman. He was kind of a pioneer. In fact, I think if things would have been different and he would have did this year, he would have won the Heisman that year instead of Matt Leiner. They didn't want to give it to a freshman. He had 1,900 yards that year. Adrian Peterson is without a doubt the greatest freshman of all time in college football.
Good one. Yeah, I consider Peterson, too. That is a huge, Maggie, you probably remember this. Dan Patrick was so mad that Adrian Peterson did win the Heisman that year. He was clearly a front runner, but it was one of those things where until a certain time, voters just would not vote for a freshman. Yep. It was an unwritten rule. Like, you don't give anybody 100% of the vote in Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. So he definitely deserved it. But you can't say that he invented being a great freshman running back because there was an original guy who came into the SEC as a full-grown adult, and that is my pick, Herschel Walker.
Keeping the ball in Jacksonville, and Walker sweeps to the right, gets outside the 35. Look out, he's past midfield, and he's got a blocker, cuts to the inside. Herschel Walker, there he goes again.
You can see Walker cutting up and watch his speed going down the boundary, stiff arms one gator back. Now it's just a foot race until he gets to the safety man, cuts back inside, and it's just a piece of cake for him, and he's just the freshman.
Oh, that is a great call. If the debate was who had the better call, I mean, that was the perfect call. So Herschel Walker broke every record as a freshman, ran for 1,616 yards, a record that stood until Jonathan Taylor broke it. And by the way, I think Taylor needed more games. Herschel won the title as a freshman. He was a phenom like no other phenom. There's only two downsides for Herschel. I think he was a disappointment as a pro. People think of him as that terrible Cowboys-Vikings trade. He just wasn't what we thought he was going to be. Then he was in the USFL. I'm not even going to get into his political forays. Not sure that all worked out the way it wanted to. But there was no other freshman like Herschel Walker. And also, Adrian Peterson was cool. Trevor Lawrence had the hair. Michael Crabtree, I'm not sure about that one. But Herschel Walker was the coolest looking football player. He would just fly down the field. He was gigantic, track star. I think Herschel Walker, and I'm the only real old school choice here, is the winner. So you can weigh in, 855-212-4227. Greatest freshman year you've ever seen. And we'll open it up to redshirt. We're open-minded here. Hey, EJ, who's the guy that you left off that you were looking at one that I thought would come up?
I saw Nico's pick was the Heisman winner, and I thought, oh, that's going to be tough to beat. But I really, really wanted to pick Lamar Jackson. And I think if I was going most exciting, I would pick Lamar Jackson. Because I mean, we talk about Michael Vick and his college numbers actually not being that great. I feel like Lamar Jackson was who people think Michael Vick was at Virginia Tech. I mean, he was legit the fastest guy, best runner in college football, and an awesome quarterback throwing the football. That was an incredible individual season. But I really want to.
That was not his freshman year. Are you sure about
definitely,
that?
It was a retro freshman. He's the second retro freshman win besides Johnny.
Okay.
Or third, I think, because Jameis also is a redshirt freshman.
Got it.
So Lamar was the guy I really wanted to pick, but I did not go that route.
What about, Jameis Winston? Does he deserve merit? I don't know, Maggie, did you look at Jameis or consider that? Because he's similar, you know, won a title.
Yeah, I think why I chose Trevor Lawrence is because of who they beat in the national title game. I think when you wax Alabama like that, and, you know, let's take a look about who was on that Alabama defense in that game. Xavier McKinney. I'm looking at Quinnen Williams. I'm looking at, you know, Patrick Surtain. I'm looking at guys who are making millions upon millions of dollars, highest paid at times in their position in the NFL, and they put 44 on them. So to me, that was the one thing that set Trevor Lawrence apart.
Yeah, but
he was an actual true freshman. He was 19. I'm not going with the red shirts. I'm doing this true to the spirit.
Hey, real quick question though. 19 is not how old you're supposed to be as a college freshman. So what was he doing after high school?
He was doing a gap year. Traveled through Europe.
Okay, yeah, he was backpacking through the Alps. Yeah, thank you. I think he probably did kindergarten twice or something. Right. He redshirted pre-K.
A 22-year-old true freshman counts, but not my redshirt freshman. Okay.
Well, the one thing. And this is because I want to win the poll, but it's a bit of a knock that Deshaun Watson had just done the same thing at Clemson and beaten Alabama.
Not this way. And Deshaun wasn't a freshman.
Yeah, I know he wasn't a freshman, but I think if Trevor had been the only quarterback to win a title at Clemson, it would mean a little more. And there's not like, you know, his team was loaded. This is before the transfer portal ruined Dabo Sweeney's career. I mean, he was loaded. So that's the only downside.
Yeah,
so,
like Alabama wasn't loaded. I mean, Devontae Smith, Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Waddle, Henry Ruggs, our Damian Harris, who's going to be joining us later in the show, Josh Jacobs. That team was loaded.
Yeah, but I mean, who did talk to me about Trevor Lawrence's teammates? Weren't they all pros?
No, they were. Yeah, Travis Etienne, but it's not like in T. Higgins. I get it. You know, Hunter Renfro, but you made it seem like they were just steamrolling and faced no talent. Like that's not true.
I understand. It's again, almost everyone on this choice on this list had some bumps in the road after their freshman year. I mean, I think Nico's choice, Johnny Football. Yeah, he has a couple of documentaries out there on him. So,
Adrian Peterson lost all of his stuff last week.
That story. He's got a couple dings against him. Yeah. And now in a major bankruptcy lawsuit. Yeah, actually a fun part two of the poll.
Who had the worst post freshman career out of our list?
By the way, Lamar also was a sophomore. I screwed that up apparently.
Yeah, I was about to say that
he was a great freshman. His numbers in freshman year also were great, but. It was not a Heisman.
Attempted save and a fail there, but I hear
you.
No, Johnny was a redshirt freshman. He was the first Heisman winner of a freshman. Has there been one since? Can we get our research team on that?
Jameis, I believe.
Okay.
He was the next one. Okay. I think I confused them. That was the status all last night.
We've got people weighing in the chat. Chuck, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork says Ron Dayne.
Yeah.
Someone who we brought up yesterday.
Jonathan Taylor, I saw, broke Herschel's record. He was really good, and he's actually a really good pro. So that I don't know if that counts. And Crabtree had some moments. Of course, I think Michael Crabtree, my favorite moment. You guys know the famous soundbite when Richard Sherman blocks a pass and says Aaron Andrews interviews him and Sherman's talking trash about someone. She goes, who are you talking about? He goes, Crabtree. So
I think the line was, when you try me with a sorry receiver like Michael Crabtree.
Yeah.
I believe that was the Richard Sherman line.
Yeah,
it's
immortal. So once again, a lot of the guys on the list might have had some bumps in the road after their freshman year. But the only question is who had the best freshman year. We will put up a poll. We already got somebody waiting. Let's go to Adrian in Maryland because I think he understands the nature of this assignment. Adrian, who do you got?
Hey, Perloff, I got you. I got your back. True freshman, Herschel Walker, first freshman to be voted as All-American in his freshman year. True freshman, Maggie.
Yeah, true freshman. That's a key.
Thank
I
you.
Think.
I'm with you. That's why I decided to go with Trevor Lawrence winning a national title as the first true freshman quarterback to start and win a national championship since 1986. I'm with you, Adrian.
Yeah, but back then in the 80s, Adrian, like the running back was the guy in college football, like Billy Sims and Marcus Dupree and Herschel Walker. So I think winning it as a running back in 1980 was a big deal.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It was the game. I think it's coming back to the NFL now with a lot of running. These first few weeks, we'll see after that. But like you said, it was a lot of running. Running backs were the main focus in the game, like it's supposed to be. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Appreciate you. Have a great day.
You know who? Thank you, Adrian. You know who would have won this poll if he played, if he wasn't stuck behind Thurman Thomas? Barry Sanders would have been amazing as a freshman. Now, he was a kick returner, right? Like, he did get on the field once in a while. I'm sure nobody could tackle him.
You know who else I think would have won had he not basically been like a split carries guy or split time guy? I think Tim Tebow also could have won this. Because Tim Tebow was important to Florida winning that championship. They stayed with Chris Leake. But then the next year, sophomore year, true sophomore, he wins the Heisman, has 50 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I imagine his freshman year, he would also have been great.
A little bit of a system thing there with Urban Meyer's team, I think. And same Sam Bradford we talked about. Yeah. I mean, a guy, and I hate to say you're crab to you guy. Did the air raid numbers and modern football, like there's some big, big numbers from freshmen.
All I'm saying is the Bleacher Report article that I found yesterday to run me through some names has Crabtree fourth in their top 10. So you can dismiss him all you want, but this list goes Manziel, Jameis, Ron Dayne, and then Michael Crabtree. Ahead of Jeremy Maclin, who apparently had a very good freshman year from Missouri.
Yeah, former Eagle. So Barry Sanders, by the way, was not really that great as a freshman. He only averaged 4.4 yards per carry in part-time duty. But then as a junior, he had 2,600 yards, 37 touchdowns.
Can I ask a housekeeping question here? You and Maggie keep defending this redshirt freshman, true freshman. The show is called Maggie and Perloff. If you wanted to be true freshman only, why didn't you guys, who overruled you guys?
Oh, I no, it had nothing to do with a general principle. It's just our choices happen to be true freshmen, and we're arguing for our choices. If I had gone with a Johnny Football, which I considered, then I would have never say this.
I'm just confused. Like, you're saying it as if you couldn't get the true freshman thing in, and I'm like, you guys made the poll. Just say it was true freshman.
Polish, you made a bad choice. It's too late.
I didn't make a bad choice. Because, by the way, I don't think Michael Crabtree was a redshirt. He wasn't in school the year he could have been as a freshman because of a transcript thing. So he's probably like Trevor Lawrence backpacking through the Alps and then shows up at 19 in Texas Tech and he's a freshman. So leave me alone.
Fair enough, Bogus. You can weigh in 855-212-4227. Greatest freshman year in college football history. We see you on the phones. We'll let you weigh in next right here, Maggie and Perloff Show. Back on Maggie and Perloff. Perloff here in New York. Maggie at the home studio. Great Debate Wednesday. Greatest freshman season or redshirt freshman season in college football history. You can weigh in 855-212-4227. Some interesting choices here. Let's go to the phone lines. Kevin in San Antonio, who do you got? Greatest freshman year in college football history.
I think Eric Dickerson of SMU.
Okay.
Also, I'm old school. How about Earl Campbell? from Texas.
Yeah, but I remember those guys had great rookie seasons in the NFL. Are you sure they had great freshman years?
Okay, so I'm looking at Eric Dickerson, and his freshman year was 1979, where he had 115 attempts and 477 rush yards with six touchdowns. You know, it's funny because we just had someone in the chat say Ricky Williams, and so I went back and looked up Ricky Williams' stats, but they're not like what he did in his junior and senior year. It's not even close to 1,000 yards rushing. I've got to look up Earl Campbell, but, you know, it's so funny. I was thinking about this, too. I was like, oh, it's got to be like the Eric Dickersons or those guys, but their freshman years just weren't that incredible.
I mean, if Barry Sanders didn't do it and Billy Sims didn't do it, I mean, yeah, it's hard. Back then, they had depth charts at running back. thanks, Kevin. All right, let's go to...
I have Earl Campbell's numbers.
What did he do?
So Earl Campbell as a freshman was 1974, 162 rushing attempts for 928 yards and six touchdowns. So a little closer. And then his sophomore season, over 1,000 yards. His senior year, obviously, was the 1,700 yards. So it's just different, you know, way back then in the 70s.
All right, let's go to Joe in California. Joe, who do you got?
Bo Jackson.
Oh, let's look up Bo's.
I got
numbers.
Bo in front of me. 829 yards. But I think he was part of, I seem to remember, was he part of a split backfield back then?
Yep.
Yeah, with Ronnie Brown and Ronnie Brown and
exactly.
It's not Cadillac Williams.
Yeah, Cadillac Williams.
No, he was in a split backfield with Lionel James.
Right. The L train.
Yes, but Bo Jackson led the team in rushing that year with 800 yards.
I mean, I don't care about stats. There's no cool. Well, Herschel, but Joe, Herschel was Bo before Bo. My guy, Herschel Walker.
Yeah, but Bo Jackson went to the NFL. He was the best back in football. Herschel Walker, what?
That's true, but this is about what they did as freshmen. And Herschel in college was everything that Bo Jackson was and more. So, and that is a good choice, though, Joe. I appreciate that. Bo Jackson, by the way, is always the right answer in any great debate poll. Can we agree with that? Best third baseman in history, Bo Jackson. Coolest athlete, Bo Jackson.
Best second act as an MLB manager.
Yeah, Bo Jackson. Funniest athlete, Bo Jackson. Bo does seem to end up in almost all these. Tim Tebow and Bo Jackson and with former member of the show, Pipilotti, Bruce Bochy, are the three most common choices.
Which one of these is not like the other?
Yeah. Do we have the poll up, EJ?
The poll is up.
Who'd you put on the poll for greatest freshman
year? So, apologies to Bogish, but he's the one that missed the cut. I've missed the last two or three cuts, so I've been unselfish here. But I put Trevor, I put Herschel Walker, I put Adrian Peterson, I put Johnny Manziel because he's the only guy that won a Heisman of these guys.
All right, fair enough. Okay, do we have time? I am really fascinated with this, and we have a minute before updates here. Thursday Night Football, by the way, to change the subject. Cowboys-Giants is usually like, we don't have to watch this. It's going to be like 35-0. Is this going to be the most intense Cowboys-Giants game of all time? There's so much pressure on Dallas. We're going to get more into it tomorrow, I'm sure. But Ryan in Dallas wants to talk about the Cowboys coming up against the Giants.
That's right, and that was Herschel's Trump's generals. He went to the USFL. This is a playoff game in the fourth week of the season that we're looking at here right now. I know Elliott's back, and that's great to have someone. Jerry Jones seems to be very dedicated, but right now I'm really worried about is Donald Trump winning the presidency. I really mean it. The country's been flooded with illegal aliens. Harris is getting
All right. He said he's really worried about Donald Trump winning the presidency. That's a mixed message here. If we just cut him off there, because we don't really do politics on the show, does that mean he's worried that he's going to win or not going to win? I didn't know where that was going.
Well, the next segment about the...
I think we knew where he was going there. It's funny to use Herschel Walker as the in for that kind of statement, but...
No, he's talking about how big it is, a must-win situation for Dallas.
Oh,
but
right,
by the way...
Too.
What did Zeke do as a freshman? He was pretty sick in college. Did he produce at Ohio State? I think he broke out as a sophomore.
What about Maurice Claret? Was he good from day one?
Yes, Claret was. I think that was his big year. Was his freshman year, and then he got in some trouble.
You don't want to have a good freshman year. It feels like.
Yeah, like isn't it funny the way this
lay in the weeds until you're a junior.
Okay.
So, I mean, some of these guys went on to get majorly paid in the NFL, so it's not all bad.
Yeah,
it's
but everyone just, we've mentioned is either out of the NFL or stinks.
I mean, Michael Crabtree, Bogus, your selection, didn't play in the Super Bowl. I mean, he was one reception away from winning it.
That's true. He might be the best of the bunch in terms of actual longevity and career because Trevor Lawrence is going nowhere. Manziel is not as is cooked.
Herschel played a long time in the NFL. Yeah. He didn't do much. By the way, Zeke sort of played as a freshman, 7 games, 30 carries, but then he had 1,900 yards as a sophomore. Mm. That's kind of like a redshirt freshman, no? Kind
of. A little bit of a stretch.
All right, give us some updates there.
Almost immediately after winning the NBA title, the Celtics turned to Olympic drama. Jaylen Brown wasn't on the team. Jason Tatum was, but then didn't get into games in Paris. Brown spoke yesterday. What did I do to my script? There's like things got like rearranged, almost like somebody's playing a prank on me. Here's Jaylen Brown, motivated, coming off the Olympic snub.
I'm ready to go. I'm excited about being back. You know, the past is the past, but I'm ready to get after it. You know, and just set the tone for another year. Yeah, I'm extremely motivated for obvious reasons, and I'm ready to get after it.
And now hopefully this is Jason Tatum. Again, he went to Paris, but then spent too much time on the bench.
It was a unique circumstance. Something that I wasn't having experienced before in my playing career. But I'm a believer that everything happens for a reason.
Tatum said Joe Mazzulla was the only person happy about the playing time drama. I guess the coach liked Tatum avoiding the extra wear and tear. Also from Celtics Media Day, Kristaps Porzingis saying he's targeting December to return from his June ankle surgery. That would be a little ahead of schedule. Porzingis adding it could be even earlier than that if rehab goes well.
Now, I'm sorry. Winning a gold medal and getting an A on the group project when you didn't do anything is not exactly adversity, all right? Like, this guy just won an NBA title, silenced all the doubters. He's got everything now. He's got a massive contract. His running mate, they all have massive contracts. Everyone's paid. Everything is good. Please, not this is not adversity here, okay? Like, I can't with the gold medal stuff. Who cares? Like, if you really care about team, what does it matter if you played or didn't play? You guys won. That's the only important thing. And that got totally lost in all that Olympic drama and, quite frankly, BS.
This might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard from a star athlete to say, this Jason Tatum thing. Because he already got by not winning an NBA Finals MVP and still winning a championship. And we kind of moved on from that when Jaylen Brown was the better player. Now he comes into the season saying, oh, I didn't get the love in the Olympics. Now it's like, okay, Jason Tatum, you're so great. You should have started every game. You better average 30 points a game. You better carry the Boston Celtics to 65 wins. And you better win an NBA championship. And you know what? You better win a Finals MVP this time. Like, this guy complaining this much, and I thought he should not have been benched. But he has milked this thing as long as any non-story I've ever heard. Like, what is he doing?
But what are you doing, EJ? You're a Knicks fan. Why do you he's creating bulletin board material. Why? He's clearly, the worst thing that happened to my Sixers and your Knicks was this craziness around the Olympics.
The best thing that happened.
What are you talking about? Besides, first of all, we had a new NBA champion every year for the last 6 years. This is the year because the boneheaded U.S. Olympic men's team didn't want to play Jason Tatum. I'm telling you, this is going to inspire them. The Celtics are coming back. Usually the champion has no bulletin board material. Now they have all of it. I disagree with both of you.
No, the reason why the Celtics won in part was because of how connected they were and how unselfish they were.
Yes.
Now all we're hearing is, I didn't get this. I didn't get that. Where was my credit? How come I wasn't on the team? How come I didn't get more shots? Yeah, please bring that energy to the Boston Celtics. Wait, you guys were so harmonious last year. Everything was kumbaya. Doesn't matter who wins Finals MVP. Doesn't matter who gets the credit. We just want to win a championship. Yes, please bring all that selfish energy from this summer onto your team. I'm so happy. Please do that.
Did you watch The Last Dance?
Of course I did.
Do you understand what kind of things you need to do to fuel multiple title runs?
Yep.
Like, bulletin board material exists in the NBA. And by the way, you say it's just an exhibition game. They should have just played them. It doesn't matter. I mean, we talk about Isaiah being frozen out of an All-Star game, being a historic landmark thing. It was insane that Jason Tatum didn't play more, and it made no sense from a basketball standpoint either.
I agree with that. I'm just saying.
And why wasn't Jaylen Brown on the team? Can someone, to me, like, because it was purely a shoe company thing, right?
That so seems to be the most logical thing.
Derek White was on the team.
And what they won the gold. Do you guys not remember the result?
It's U.S. men's basketball. He won the gold. Yeah, I hope so. USA. What does that mean?
That wasn't a given. They needed some big Steph Curry performances to save their butts.
Yeah, but so what? I mean, this is the NBA. The NBA championship is so much more important than that gold medal.
This guy just put a big... He just put so much pressure on himself for no reason.
They're the defending... First of all, he already won a ring. I mean, how much pressure? Right. You want to say pressure. Like, Joel Embiid has pressure.
If he just carried to another championship, that is going to be the only thing we're talking about in the playoffs this year. I guarantee you that.
If he gets carried, what, Tatum?
If Jason Tatum is shooting 3-12 again, like he was in game one and doing what
he was a monster on the glass. He played such a good team game.
A team game? He's saying he should start over LeBron James.
He should have.
What are we talking about? Rebounds, team game? What are we talking about?
What he got in there was dunking all over some European dude's head. He should have been in more. He has every... By the way, you say that. Like, are you betting against Celtics this year?
I love the fact that they're doing this. I love the fact. I mean, I'm serious. Yeah. I'm not, and I'm a Knicks fan, so I'm telling you honestly, I really like that they are taking all of this selfishness about who should have played, who should have been on the team. I don't think that they're such a good team because they're so balanced and because they share the ball and because they don't care about the credit. The fact that they're all now looking for credit, I think, can be a bad thing.
But don't you think that they're
all... I'm not there right now. We've got to move on. It's the middle of football season. We've talked enough about the Celtics and the Knicks. We have to move on from this conversation.
And before I agree with Perloff again, twice in one day, that's two times too many. The NFL has upheld the one-game suspension of Chargers safety Derwin James. He's punished for repeated violations of player safety rules. The Pac-12 is suing to avoid a potential $55 million payment to the Mountain West for poaching five schools. The penalty was included in the scheduling agreement between the two leagues. The Mountain West issued a statement last night calling the suit BS. That's me paraphrasing. Since the Pac-12 knew it was in the deal and freely signed it. And UNLV QB Matt Sluka says he is done playing for the school in an apparent NIL dispute. Sluka only played three games, so he can redshirt this season and play somewhere else next fall. The Houston Astros, AL West champs again. That's four in a row, seven of the last 8 years, all after a 4-3 home win over the Mariners. The Padres and Orioles clinched playoff spots last night. Asia Wilson had 24 points and 13 boards. The Aces got a two-game sweep of the Storm, 83-76. The Liberty closed out the Dream in their game two, 91-82. So Vegas and New York meet in the semis starting Sunday in Brooklyn. Pearl, back to you.
We're going to double or nothing our ratings bet. Anybody? We already ordered breakfast. I already lost the bet. They didn't get the $2 million. I think they're going to do pretty good numbers here the rest of the way. How does it work without Caitlin Clark? What's the number we're looking for? Is that down to a million?
Yeah, like, I mean, you have to I don't know what the numbers were last postseason. I know they set their own records last postseason. They did well, but so I would think that you just want to be north of those numbers. You want to have improvement, but you're not going to get the same Caitlin Clark effect.
All right, debate today. Greatest freshman year in college football history. You can weigh in 855-212-4227. Seeing some interesting options here on Twitter. We'll break down some of those right here. Maggie and Perloff Show. Oh, boy. It's a party now. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Great debate Wednesday. Greatest freshman season in college football history. I went Herschel Walker. Maggie went Trevor Lawrence. Bogus went Michael Crabtree. Nico went Johnny Football, and EJ went with the great Adrian Peterson. There's a very, very strong nominee on the phone line. Let's go to Dan in Tampa. Dan, who do you got? Greatest freshman season of all time? Dan?
Yeah, Tony Dorsett.
Tony Dorsett.
Yeah, but also I like to sprinkle in there. He came in, there's another guy there at Pitt. He came in about mid-season. Disco Dan Marino, his freshman year, and led the team to the Fiesta Bowl victory. Came in for an injured quarterback at the time. Dan Marino is the only guy I know who could throw a football behind his back 70 yards and hit a wide receiver. I mean, he would do it in practice like it was like he was warming up.
Dan, did you see Tony Dorsett in college? Because I've seen highlights. It looked like he just would take the ball, run between two tackles, and go for an 80-yard touchdown every play.
Right. I saw Dorsett play. Tony Dorsett was one of these guys who you just, if you thought you had him sized up and squared up, he was right past you and gone. If you didn't get at him quickly and grab him, either grab him or knock him out from his legs, he was gone, Tony D. And the same thing with Dan Marino. If you think you were a lineman coming at this guy and you got him squared up, split second, that ball is going downfield at 100 miles an hour. Go, Buchanan, go. 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 Go, Pat, go. Please go, Pat, go. Go, Pat.
All right, Dan. All right, Dan. All right, Dan.
We got it. Go, go, Pat.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Tony Dorsett, 1,586 yards in 11 games as a freshman, 12 TDs. You know, Maggie, I think we might have forgotten some of these old school guys.
Wait, can I give you someone from Pitt who's not even that old school, but someone who also had a sneaky great freshman year? Was Shady McCoy. 2007, he rushed for over 1,300 yards with 14 touchdowns. So he had 21 touchdowns his sophomore year, so maybe that gets a little forgotten. But Shady McCoy was great his freshman year at Pitt, too.
Yeah, but I mean, were those impactful? Was that team a contender?
I mean, it wasn't Tony Dorsett. Okay, I'm just giving you another Pitt freshman.
Well, I watched a list. Deion Lewis, I think he might have challenged the record, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's on a lot of these lists as the greatest freshman year of all time.
I feel like you guys are talking about the wrong Pittsburgh freshman. If you're talking about great Pittsburgh freshmen.
Who?
Larry Fitzgerald was a monster first year. Yeah. That was at a time where guys weren't getting a lot of yards. He had 1,000 yards as a true freshman. And then he almost won the Heisman the second year. I mean, people forget how gnarly he was for Pitt.
Yeah.
As a freshman.
Deion Lewis almost got the all-time record, by the way. 1,799 yards as a freshman. A couple old school guys. O.J. Simpson, no surprise, pretty good as a freshman. Led the country in rushing, 1,400 yards, 11 touchdowns. And I don't have Jim Brown's numbers up, but I'm assuming nobody tackled that dude as a freshman at Syracuse.
Not to take away from our great debate today, which obviously you can still weigh in, who had the greatest freshman year of all time. But wasn't somebody just talking about Jim Brown and his number should be retired all throughout the NFL? Was that Bill Belichick who said that?
Yeah, EJ and I decided that was too heavy a topic to get into, but you brought it up. Let's dive in. Maggie, what do you think?
Tough. Right? Tough, because we know some things about Jim Brown, right? About his personal life and things like that. So I doubt that they would ever do something like that. But if you were going, let's just say it was only on skill, merit, whatever. Who is the person who deserves to have their number retired? Because let's just take all off the field stuff out of this thing, right? If you know, Jim Brown had some things, again, as I said, in his personal life with domestic violence and stuff like that. If we can for a second, if it's possible, let's just take the athlete. Is Jim Brown the most deserving person to have their number retired all throughout the sport?
I mean, I guess the GOAT is Brady.
Right. I'm wondering, would you retire 12 throughout the sport before you would retire Jim Brown?
I think football is hard to retire numbers. There's just too many players. And it feels weird to retire 12.
Well, and I guess you think about it, right? What are the retired numbers throughout the sport? Is obviously Jackie Robinson, and that's for completely other reasons. You know, he was a great player, obviously, but his significance on baseball, on our country, on everything is huge. And is Bill Russell's number retired throughout the sport, too?
Well, I like to think of it as Dr. J's numbers retired throughout the sport.
Sure. But Bill slash Julius.
Well, and also, obviously, so Jim Brown. So Belichick was unclear. Was he talking about the great photo where Bill Russell, Kareem, and Jim Brown are making a statement about civil rights, or is he talking about football? So I don't think you can necessarily separate the two. If you talk about just football, then you have an interesting debate. But I'm not sure that's what Belichick was saying exactly.
Oh, okay. He was saying as an activist and as a...
Well, he kept saying Jackie Robinson. And that's why EJ and I talked about this before the show. Like,
got it.
If you're going to talk about Jackie Robinson, it's just a different conversation for Jim Brown. And the problem with football, like retiring numbers is tricky because you have a gigantic roster. You know, it's hard in baseball, too. Now guys are having to come back the longer we play, Maggie. But Jim Brown was up there as an all-time player. I'm not sure he was so great that you have to retire his number just based on performance.
Well, and he left the game at the top too, right?
Yeah.
So we didn't even we got robbed and could have had even more years from Jim Brown. I mean, as like a statement, you know. Well, listen, if there's like a civil rights component to this, then obviously you're going to rethink it as just football. I mean, listen, if you're going to divorce everything off the field, should Lawrence Taylor have his number retired? I mean, I'm surprised Belichick didn't go there.
I mean, this is your guy OJ in the Ring of Honor in Buffalo?
Still in there. Never took him out.
Let's go to an easy. Now we're getting into some areas that are outside of football, which are so hard. I think it's really worth discussing. I like sticking easy, greatest freshman, Maggie. Just look at the numbers. Let's go to Bergie in Florida, who has a really good one. Bergie, who do you think is the greatest freshman of all time was?
Emmett Smith. Gators, Florida Gators. About, what, like 1,500 yards, maybe 19 touchdowns, if that's right. You could double check, but that guy was amazing.
Yeah, but let's did he make an impact? Like, did he win it? He didn't win it. He was not on the title Florida teams, right? It was got to be what? The late 80s. I know he's good numbers, but again, I think if you have a running back with good numbers, you have to be win a title or do something really remarkable.
I know he really turned them around. You have to check the season, but I know they were lousy before him.
So Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith's rookie season, 1987, Florida Gators. You're right, he had a phenomenal season. They finished the season though 6-6 that year. Bergie's also correct that, you know, next year was 7-5, and then I think it was his junior year. That was 7-5 too. Is that right?
I don't remember that Florida team being very good.
Emmitt was amazing though.
All right, let's go to Charles in Maine, has one that every college football fan loves. Charles, who do you got?
Good morning. I was going to give a little bit more attention to Marcus Dupree, whose name you kind of casually tossed out there as one of the running backs of the era in which he played. He played for that Oklahoma Sooners team back when Oklahoma, Nebraska was as big as Ohio State, Michigan, or Auburn, Alabama, and Barry Switzer was like a cross between Steve Spurrier and John Gotti. When you look him up, there's all sorts of stuff from Frank DeFord to NPR, all the in between, talking about the legend of Marcus Dupree and how he exploded on the scene and then vanished. And then one more point, if I may. Jim Brown, I think you might not find his numbers because I think he played in the era when freshmen weren't allowed to play varsity football.
Kind of like Kareem.
I might be wrong about that, but yeah, I think that might be right. Anyway, thanks for taking my call. Have a great day.
Thanks, Charles. We have a cut from the great Marcus Dupree.
Third down, 11. A counter to Dupree. Up to the 20. He may go. Dupree, it's a foot race. The chase is on. Clark trying to catch him. Touchdown. 86 yards.
And by the way, Maggie, he did all that with gold watches that he was getting from boosters weighing him down on the field. he was definitely in a big, I think that, I don't know if it was a wishbone, but that was a split backfield. So he only had 900 yards. But I watched the 30 for 30 on Marcus Dupree. It seemed like I've never seen a guy break more long runs in my life.
I mean, can we just pause on like the MVP call from the description of Barry Switzer as a combination of Steve Spurrier and John Gotti?
Oh my God.
We could sit down for an hour in a conference room. We would never come up with a combination that perfect.
It's so true. My buddy Spencer Tillman, cause Gabe, said that he Switzer had this button under his desk so he could close the door when he wanted to, and he would use it to intimidate players all the time. They'd be like walking up to come talk to him. He'd just close the door and stare at them and not let them in. He was awesome as a coach. Not a great NFL coach though, Mag.
Well, won a Super Bowl, but doesn't get a lot of credit for it.
Yeah. No, it wasn't the same. Like he was the Don. That is a wonder. And that I love Billy Sims. Any video, Marcus Dupree, Billy Sims, even Barry Sanders back in the day when, for some reason, running backs used to run for 80 yards on the regular. Now that doesn't happen. All right, you can weigh it again, 855-212-4227. Greatest freshman year of all time. Coming up next, we have a guy who ran for many, many yards at Alabama. Damian Harris will break down Georgia and Alabama coming up this Saturday, early game of the year. Can't wait to hear from him and maybe talk a little Patriots. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show.